Grab my arm, buddy. I think so.
Good, thanks, buddy. While you're turning there, last time I'm going to mention this, and we're done mentioning this for the year. Faith Promise Commitment Cards, if you want to give the missions, is the last time I mentioned that. As if you were here Sunday night, you know we met the quota, which means we're going to be able to keep our 11 missionaries for support, plus take on a 12th missionary. Folks, I am blessed and thankful for a church that's only 7 years old. We support 12 missionaries. That is a blessing. I am very blessed to be able to mention that to you, and of course, because of your faithfulness. But again, this is not tithing, it's separate from the tithe. It's the missions, and if you would like to give the Faith Promise Commit missions, and you have not yet, tonight is the last night to mention that to you. Any questions, come talk to me about that if you would. All right, Psalm 135, verse 1. We're the one verse. If you found it, would you please stand if you can? Psalm 135, verse 1. Read that one verse there. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. God's word says in that one verse, verse 1 of chapter 135 of the book of Psalms, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. And tonight, I want to preach on the simple thought, the name of the Lord. Have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. It is so good to have not only friends, but family with us this evening, Lord. I pray you bless them. I thank you for my, personally speaking, for my family I haven't seen in a while. It's good to have them this evening. I pray you put your hand upon them, bless them as they continue to travel. Some back to Kansas and back to home to North Carolina, others back to Colorado. I thank you for them and what a blessing they've been in my life. And I thank you for the church family you've given me. This wonderful church family, I pray you bless them. I thank you for giving Mr. Rita another year. I pray you help her, continue to bless her dealing with the cancer situation. Bless the dear folks in this room, others that could not make it for different reasons. I pray you put a hand upon them, be with the Monzos tomorrow. I think as Sharon, she heads down to the I pray you bless that situation, Father. I pray everything be okay, and I pray you protect them. I thank you again for each and every single person in this room. What a blessing they are to the people of this church, as well as myself. I pray you continue to help us in the future. Give us wisdom as we push forward for you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege it is to serve. We love you and thank you. Now, all we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right, well, we're looking at this one verse tonight. Obviously, there's one word that appears several times, the word praise. So having said that, let me ask a rhetorical question and a very elementary question at that. What does it mean to praise, or what is praise? I went to the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I looked up the word praise. It means this: commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy acts or on meritorious actions themselves. And if I could kind of break that down to layman's terms, what that means is giving praise is pretty much giving thanks or appreciation to someone for who they are and what they do. For who they are and what they do. Now, obviously, looking at the Lord, obviously, we can praise God. We should praise God for all eternity for both those reasons, for who he is and what he does. If I can break that down tonight, let me look at first, spend a few minutes looking at what God does and why we should praise him for what he does. I have just three kind of thoughts came to my mind there in his first point here. Obviously, the greatest reason I believe we should praise him for what he does is because of our salvation. Because of our salvation. You understand that if it wasn't for his son, Jesus Christ, we would never, ever get to heaven. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 118, verse 21 says this, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Friend, listen, if you are in this room and you are saved, and say amen to that. If you're born again, you understand a time and a place when you understood you were a sinner, you deserved hell for your sins, and Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. And you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart to save you. I don't want to embarrass him. I'm looking at Brother Miller tonight. I love his salvation testimony. Brother Miller, would you lift your voice and just explain how you got saved? You would tonight, brother? Lord, brother, good testimony. And I'm not going to spend time going around the room, but listen, salvation is not about, I mean, I'm thankful I'm Baptist, and I don't ever apologize for that. We understand salvation is only through Jesus Christ, not through a church, not through our good works, not through our membership, not through baptism. It's only trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. 21 years old, the best day of my life, Hamden, Connecticut, in a college dorm room. I'll never forget that day. And I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart, my personal Savior. Humanly speaking, I have a mama who is praying for my salvation. I thank God for my mom. What a blessing she was to me. And still is this today. Make sure my coat zipped up real high and everything else. Amen. He's a beloved mom. But no, I remember, seriously, folks, I praise God for my salvation. So again, you understand that we can praise God because of the fact we're saved. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we would never see heaven. Another reason we can praise the Lord is for the things He has done is because of His hand of help and protection. His hand of help and protection. Go to Psalm 28, verse 7. You would. Psalm chapter 28, verse 7. God's hand of help and protection. Psalm 28, verse 7, if you would. This will be a blessing tonight, folks, if I can. Psalm 28, verse 7. And if you're in the Psalm 135, just kind of go towards the front of the book, front of book of Psalms, if you would. Psalm 28, verse 7 says this: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him." Listen, folks, all of us can stand and testify again how God has intervened on our behalf, physically speaking, how things have happened, and we know it was a miraculous way. Again, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I think of Brother Keeney. I think of what a blessing it was to know the different things. How God, I think of that shrimp illustration, brother, how God blessed you when you had no food and you prayed in some food, and God brought some food in. I remember myself one time going out to Missouri, heading out there to a funeral. I mentioned this once before. I was in my Chevy Tahoe, my rear-wheel drive, balding rear tires, nothing in the back, Chevy Tahoe. And I remember going over that bridge connecting Illinois to Hannibal, Missouri. And I remember on the bridge, I was doing 70 miles an hour with my cruise control on. As I'm driving, I watched myself turn around. I'm like, this isn't normal. And I remember slamming on the brakes, which you shouldn't do, but that's the first thing you do anyway. And I remember thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, please help me. And I stopped on the shoulder, never touched the car, didn't ding anything, no shoulder got, and I didn't touch the guardrail, didn't hit any cement barricade. I was completely fine, praise the Lord. And that's His hand of protection. I think of Miss Dorita Curlin. I know, I'm sure, where is she at? Oh, there she is. Miss Dorita, she takes comfort, I believe, in knowing that God is your help, Dorita, I believe you know. She said that to me, went to see her. Me and Hallie and Lindsay went to see her last week when she found the news of her cancer. And she said it herself. I mean, that wasn't my word. I didn't put her on the spot. She said, I know God's in control. I know He'll get me through, and he's the help that I need, which was a blessing. So God gives the help that we need, holding our hands in the most obscure and difficult places. I think of Psalm 139, verse 9 to 10, which says this: "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." I love those verses there, knowing that God's hand will help us and hold us. So again, by the way, folks, during those times when God protects us physically, when the miraculous happens and you know it's only the Lord, make sure you thank Him and praise Him for what He's done. And going back to the salvation, make sure you thank Him and praise Him for the salvation. A third reason we can praise the Lord for what He has done is because of the fact we can show it to our children. Show it to our children. Go to Psalm 45, verse 17. Psalm 45, verse 17, if you would. Psalm 45, verse 17. The third reason we can praise the Lord is because of our children. Be a good example to our kids. Psalm 45, verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. In all generations. I will make thy name remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. I'm going to mention Brother Keeney again. I'm putting him on the spot here. But I'm sure that you can thank God that you were raised in church, brother. Raised in a Christian home. And obviously not just for salvation, but also to see and to be taught that we need to praise the Lord. I remember as a kid, I thank God for my parents. My mom and dad raised us in church. I remember every Sunday we were in church, and I remember just singing those songs. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing. Praise Him, and oh, worship the King. And thinking about just my grandmother, Grandma Hendel, I think, remember in church there, and we called her Nana, affectionately referred to her as Nana. Remember, she had that beautiful voice. And I remember would sit next to her, stand next to her while we were singing those songs in church. And on purpose, I would sing the words, but nothing would come out, so I could listen to Nana sing. I loved the way she sung those wonderful hymns of faith. The point I'm trying to make, folks, is I saw the importance and necessity to praise the name of the Lord up from a beginning, a young age. And for those of us in this room, for those of us in this room who have children who are still in the house, we need to let them see the necessity of praising God by us doing it ourselves. Let me step on your toes if I can here for a moment. Folks, how many times on a TV do we hear, "Oh my G-O-D," coming out? How many times? Blaring over and over again. That's putting it mildly. Instead of hearing praise the Lord, or worship the Lord, or rejoice in the Lord, we hear over and over again those things. But folks, listen. Let me challenge you this evening, if I can. Man, in our houses, we should have songs like "For a Thousand Tongues to Sing," "Praise Him, Praise Him," or just the songs of faith coming from the stereo or coming from our lips. Not just for our benefit, but for our children. Imagine they hear "Oh My G-O-D" over and over again every day, day in and day out, on the TV over and over again. It's all they hear. Well, how's it going to affect them spiritually? It's something to think about. Again, the people who are raised in church in this room can attest the fact it was a blessing to be in church at a young age and hear those wonderful songs of Zion. Praise God for that. And so for those of us in this room, we can do the same thing to our kids. Just praise God for that. So again, this evening, looking at this first thought, I think we can understand that there are many reasons to praise God. I only touched on three of them, but there are many reasons to praise God for what He has done. But for the remainder of our time, I want to focus on the fact, if you look at that phrase there in Psalm 135, verse 1, "Praise ye the name of the Lord," the name of the Lord. Yes, there are many reasons to praise God for what He has done in our lives. But like I said in the beginning, when we looked at the definition of the word praise, we need to praise God for not only what He has done, but also for who He is. Praise God for who He is. So I want to take a moment I can and focus on the names of God. I was doing some research on that today. How many names of God are found, different descriptions of names. And there was, I came across resource, you could say, over 995 names referring to God are in our Bible alone. Praise the Lord. Different names referring to God. I'm going to focus on 900. Just joking. I'll be here tomorrow. Focus on three names if I can. Three names, like, whoo, praise God. Three names. The first name is Abba, my favorite one. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. The first name of God, Romans 8, 15, the name Abba. The first name of God, Abba. I love this name. I've mentioned it so many times in preaching. It says Romans 8, 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Abba literally means father. In the Aramaic, it means daddy. It means daddy. You talk about a personal name. You know, when I was a kid, obviously, nothing wrong with calling your dad father necessarily, "Hey, father." But we always called dad, "Hey, daddy." We always called him. There was something personal about it. We can call dad, "Hey, daddy," because he wasn't just a regular figure. He wasn't just a normal Joe. He was our father. We loved him dearly because he was our dad. And I praise God we can refer to our Heavenly Father as father. But when we call him Abba, it also means daddy. And again, if you look at the verse here, Romans 8:15, it says this, again, "If we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." What he's talking about, that bondage, is talking about when we were lost, when we're enslaved in sin. If you remember, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 talks about Adam and Eve. "As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We understand what happened back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they ate that fruit. We saw it on Sunday night as well. Sin passed down from generation to generation, and we're all born with a sin nature. But again, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were free from that bondage, if you would. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're set free from that spirit of bondage. And we have the Holy Spirit confirming we're not just free, but we're in a new family. The verse continues to say this, "But ye have received the spirit of adoption." Here, look at the word adoption. It's kind of interesting how it's meant in the Bible. Because Paul here, he's talking to the Romans, people who are in Rome. If you know Roman law back in the Bible, I'm not sure what it is like today, but back in those days, adoption was a very unique thing. When a person was adopted into a family, they had more privileges than a person who was a natural born child, who was a biological child born. Did you know that? In Roman law, if you were born naturally into a family, you're born from your mom and dad, and you're in their family, that dad could actually disown you, and you would lose your inheritance if you're naturally born in the family. But if you're adopted into a family in Roman law, and you're adopted, number one, the dad can never disown you, which means you'll never lose that inheritance. You have more rights and privileges as an adopted child than a natural born child. And God says, we're adopted. And when Paul said to the Romans, they knew what he's talking about. When he said that, he's talking to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. He's talking to the Romans. He's listen, hey, you Romans, understand, when you're saved, you're adopted. And they knew exactly what he's talking about. Wait a minute, we're saved, we'll never lose that salvation. We'll never be a time and a place where you can lose it. Sure, you can lose a fellowship with God if you get caught up in sin and kind of lose a fellowship, but you can never, ever lose that salvation. Praise the Lord. And folks, that's a blessing just to see Romans 8:15. Again, you're adopted. And so again, it's impossible for an adopted child to lose their inheritance because they cannot be disowned. So we saw that word Abba. Second, let me look at a second name here tonight. The second name of God I want to focus on, he's referred to the word holy. He's also referred to as being holy. Go to Psalm 99, verse 3. Psalm 99, verse 3. Psalm 99, verse 3 says this. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. His name is holy. Now you can look at this verse as referring to the fact it's a description of who he is, or you look at it as being what he is. He is, or the name of him, he is holy. Holy means sacred or set apart. To make an application for holiness, holiness can be a disdain or a hatred for sin. In 1 Peter 1:16, we're commanded, God says this, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's convicting. Now listen, it doesn't mean we can be perfect. None of us will ever reach perfection until we get to heaven. That will never happen, because of the sin nature that we have. But we understand his desire for us to become more like his son, Jesus Christ, to become more holy. And in a sense, it's having a disdain or a hatred for sin. Get farther away from the world and closer to God, closer to the Lord. Folks, God is holy. He is perfect. He is a benchmark for us to strive for. Again, we'll never reach that sinless state until we get to heaven and have the brand new bodies, but we can become more like him as we desire to grow in grace. I love watching, one thing I love, that you heard me say this before, one thing I love about starting the church 7 years ago, when God let us start the church, I love the fact of watching the new converts grow. Loved it. Watching people in this room, some in this room, who came to us and God brought them here, and watch them grow in grace has nothing to do with me. Nothing. Everything to do with Jesus Christ. I remember seeing a picture one time of someone, I'm not going to mention, I'm embarrassed, someone, a picture of them, they first started coming to church and had a kind of a worldly look to them. And years later, how you can tell, it's just a Christian style about them. It's more sanctified, farther away from the world and closer to God. Why? Because our desire, his desire, he is holy, desire is for us to be holy. I remember seeing a book one time entitled this, The Pursuit of Holiness. Never read the book, so I can't comment on the book itself. The title caught my attention. Desire to become more like the Lord, or more like Christ. Folks, you'll never do wrong doing that. Become more like Christ. You know, for those in this room, you might, if I can make it, it's kind of a very elementary illustration. I almost didn't include it because I don't want to give any irreverence to the Lord, but it kind of fits real well. If any of you parents ever raise kids, usually you'll see one of the kids usually copies the other. We have that in our house. The boys copy each other. Jacob, to agree, will copy Caleb, and Seth copies Jacob. And they all follow suit. So I remember last Christmas, Caleb said he wanted to get his safe. So he had to put his money because he didn't want Seth stealing his money. I had to tell that con artist. And so Caleb gets his safe. You know, of course, the rule was, okay, buddy, you can get a safe. I can check that safe anytime I want. Yes, Dad, no problem. So you know what Lindsay asked for her birthday? A safe. Hallie wanted a safe. Kayla wanted a safe. And Jake wanted a safe. And Seth wanted a safe. I said, Seth, what do you need a safe for? Daddy, for my bubble gum, of course. Yeah, of course, duh. You never know. If bubble gum's gone off the planet, the thing will be priceless. Amen. But the thing, I know I'm being silly and irreverent. I'm not trying to get reverent to the Lord by any means. But it's the point I'm trying to make here, folks. It's amazing how people copy each other. Imagine we have that mentality for the Lord, a yearning to copy Him. When I read that, it gets very convicting. Become more like Him. Closer to Him. Have a disdain for sin. Look, our flesh loves sin. Our flesh craves it. We know that. But get in the place where we just hate the idea of sinning. Obviously, we'll never get to that place to be sinless. I'm not trying to say that. But just the idea of becoming more like the Lord. Become more holy. So we see the second name is holy. He is holy. And finally, the last name I want to point out to you tonight is mighty. He's a name called mighty. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 to 18. Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 to 18, if you would. It says this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." Here in these two verses, it says here that the description of God is He is mighty. He's one that, if you continue on verse 17, He's one that does not play favorites, meaning He regardeth not persons. He does not take bribes. He taketh not reward. And He works on behalf of those who are hurt and desperate. And the reason I say that is because look in verse 18. In verse 18, there's three different people mentioned. There is the fatherless, the widow, and the strangers all are mentioned in verse 18. If you understand who those people were, all three of those people were people, forgive the expression, they were desperate. What I mean by that is a person who is fatherless, back in the Bible days, we understand the father was the breadwinner. If you had no father, you had very little money. So a fatherless person had no dad, so pretty much that child would have been grown up in a poor type of situation. The widow, same idea. She had no husband. There was no husband there. So again, the situation is, because there was no husband, a poor situation. And then a stranger. A stranger is someone, the Bible refers to, is someone who was not an Israelite, but was welcomed by the Lord, how He will give him food and raiment. And seeing all of this, we know that God is mighty in the sense that He will not play favorites. He will not take bribes, meaning we can serve a God no matter where you are in your financial situation, no matter how much money you have or how money you don't have, where you are in terms of popularity, whether you're popular or not, no matter where you are in the social status, that's irrelevant to the Lord. Irrelevant. We serve a God who's mighty. He does not get biased based on society. He does not change. I change is not, He says. We serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God whose promises that our grandparents and great-grandparents have, we have them. And if Jesus Christ stays on the throne, our children have them, our grandchildren have them. That means, listen, my friend, the way we got saved through Jesus Christ is the way our kids can get saved and our grandkids can get saved. That's why the gospel is so important, to preach that gospel to our children and great-grandchildren, because it's the same way. It's all through Jesus Christ. All of it. That's salvation. All through Jesus Christ. Nothing else but Jesus. Because He doesn't change. He doesn't take bribes. He doesn't play favorites. And he's there having an ear to the poor, the fatherless, the one who's a stranger. He's there to listen when you're down and out, when you're desperate. We serve a God who is mighty. We serve a mighty God, my friend. It's amazing to have a God who's mighty. That's a God who's a name for Him being mighty, and he cannot be manipulated. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. So I'm done tonight. I'm going to wrap it up if I can. We need to praise God not only for what He does, but for who He is. Hey, my friend, are you saved? You know He's done a lot in your life if you're born again. And the blessings you have, how He's helped and protected. You know a God who has done many things for us. Even the young kids in this room, you serve an amazing God. And for who He is, the names of an Abba, Daddy, wants us to get close to Him. have a special relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Holy, wants us to become more like him and have disdain and a hatred for sin. And we serve a God who's mighty. A mighty God, a powerful God to the point he cannot be bought. He is unbiased. He doesn't change. Same promises we have, same promises our kids have, our grandkids have. Let me give one more illustration of my Nana. I was looking at my relative back here. Nana, every now and then, she'd tell stories as we were younger, Bible stories, different things. And I honestly don't remember a lot of them. I remember sitting down, she opened a Bible up, or when she went to Israel, we'd talk about Israel and the things she saw over there in Israel. And different illustrations or different things she saw. I was reminded at a young age, even before I was saved, at a young age, what a mighty God we serve. Parents, grandparents, don't take that lightly. You have a special responsibility, even as a grandparent, to pass those things on to your grandchildren, or for our parents to the children as well. Because we understand we serve a mighty God. And just like the promises that we had today, our kids have them tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes.